I don't know. It's spring break, I guess. So it's good to have them. Good to see everybody here. And we're believing that God is going to do something special in the service. Amen. Let's believe God has his way. Amen. I want to leave here with whatever God has to give me. How about you? If God has a gift, I don't want to leave without it. But Lord, let us receive that today. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Yeah, that's still a thing in the Bible. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. My, my. Today I want to talk to us on the progression of perversion. The progression of perversion. I do this not to scare us, not to threaten us, not to make anybody nervous, but I do this to say, hey, we need to be wise. There is a progression of perversion. There is a movement in our world that's progressing towards perversion. Some are already there. Some are just headed that way. But it wants to creep into the church. It wants to creep into our lives. But we're going to be wise about that. And God's going to give us wisdom to overcome every tactic of the enemy. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and power and how you've been moving here today. I pray that your will be done in every life and heart. We give you all the praise and the glory for what you're going to do today. Lord, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Would you give the Lord another hand clap of praise today? Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. We began reading today in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Just a few verses before that in Romans 1, 16, Paul makes a statement that we love to quote. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And Paul was not ashamed. He was not ashamed, and most likely he was writing this letter to the church in Rome while he was in the city of Corinth. Perhaps there on his third missionary journey around the year of 56 or maybe 57 A.D., but he was ready to preach the gospel at Rome. And Rome was a place where the gospel had been run down. Just imagine with me how those in Rome looked at the gospel. While there was a church there, probably started by Romans who had been present on the day of Pentecost and went back to Rome, but most in that city considered it to be the gospel of a man who was hanged on a tree, and at that time it was a despised gospel. It was a hated gospel. It was spoken against. It was not received, and this was just a gospel of some followers of a man who was hanged on a tree, or so they thought. But Paul was not ashamed to own it. Oh, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel today. That we wouldn't be ashamed to own it, to receive it, to proclaim it. And tell me today, how does our heart, what does it do? How does it respond when we get the opportunity to tell somebody about the hope that we have? Do we get excited? Does our blood pressure kind of get going? Do we get excited to share the good news, or would we rather just kind of duck our head and turn and just go another way without telling somebody about this gospel? Oh, that we would not be ashamed to own it, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even more of that, oh, that we would not be ashamed to the gospel. That we would not be ashamed to the gospel. For if we are ashamed of the gospel, then we are not worthy of it. Jesus said, if we're ashamed of him, if we're ashamed of his words, then he would be ashamed of us. God forbid that we would be ashamed to the gospel. I tell you, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It is the answer for our world. It is the freedom that they desperately want. It is the life that they need. They may not even know it, but the gospel is the very air that their soul is gasping for. What would it take for us to receive a new passion regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can we believe God to transform us here today? And if we've been embarrassed at times, if we've been too shy, if we've been even too ashamed perhaps to share the good news with someone around us, can we let conviction set into our hearts today so we'd overcome the strategy of the devil to keep us from sharing the very thing that this world so desperately needs? We don't have time to be shy about this. Come on, we don't have the luxury of just sitting on our hands and enjoying the blessings of God. There is work that must be done. There are people who are going to hell. There are lives that are weighing in the balance, and they are depending on us. They're depending on our witness. They're depending on our prayers. They're depending on our willingness to do what God has called us to do. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, but it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen, amen. Today we're thankful for a mix, a great mix of generations in our church. There's a good mix of children and young people and young marrieds and I guess middle age and well, some of you might be elders, I don't know, but every church needs a mix. Amen, and I'm thankful, but each generation brings their respective strengths and blessings, which add to the total of the church. It's interesting to note the differences between generations. And as time goes along, as technology changes with developments in education, and as all that happens, people literally change and adapt. And it's just part of life. Things change. Things change, and if you're someone who doesn't like change, well, I've got news for you. Just wait, whether you like it or not, things are going to change. It's just, it's part of life. Amen. And today it seems that things are changing faster than ever. Due to the development of modern technology, there's something which many of this younger generation have never experienced. And it's really sad because there's really nothing quite like it. There's a whole generation that has missed out on this experience, and that is the experience of being lost. The experience of being lost. Can anybody remember something called the map? It was on paper. Y'all remember that stuff? It was all folded up into just a bunch of folds and all these creases. And if you open it up a certain way, it's so hard to get it put back together. And yes, that the map, that's what that thing was. I can remember going to St. Louis and going to college there and getting a, first thing I did, get a big city map. And I'd sat there for hours and study that thing and each of the main highways and the cross streets and get all that in my mind so that I could quickly determine the best route to get across town and taking into consideration traffic and the time of day and all of that. And then once you have it in your mind, you got it. Today, people just jump in the car and they say, Siri, take me to Andy's. And they head off down the highway. Now, if you really want to mess somebody up, just cut off their data. All of a sudden, they have no idea how to get around town. Because everyone relies on technology. It's really sad that more haven't experienced the feeling of being lost, because there's nothing like it. You start to breathe funny and your blood pressure rises and you don't know where you're at. And one time I remember going into the woods to hunt, and we went sometime early before dawn, and I thought I knew where to go. I had been there before, but it had been a few years, and now some of the trees had changed and some of the brush had grown up, and I was there with my flashlight, and somehow I lost the trail. And I didn't know exactly where I was, but thinking I knew the direction to take, I kept pushing on. But then all of a sudden I realized that I heard cars way ahead of me. And the only road in that area was the road I'd just come from. And it should have been behind me somewhere, and it's dark, and that makes everything worse. And so there was nothing to do but just sit down, wait for the sun to come up, and figure out how to get back to where I needed, because I was lost. And today, there's apps with GPS and waypoints, and I can even go today into areas without cell service, and my hunting app will still track me. It still picks up enough to show the way to go, and people seldom have the experience today of being lost. And sometimes I think that affects us in our relationship with God, because while there's nothing like being lost in the woods or lost in a city that we're unfamiliar with, and not knowing which way to go, there's truly nothing like being spiritually lost and not knowing where to go and not knowing which direction to take and knowing that your soul is lost. I want to tell you, there's nothing like it. It's a depth of despair. And some of you, maybe it's been a little long ago, but you need to remember, hey, God has brought me a long ways. Because I used to lay my head on the pillow at night and I didn't have a hope. And I'd have to sing songs just to keep my mind occupied so I could go to sleep. And I'd have to take medicine to try to drown out the noise of sin and the world in my life. And I want to tell you, there's nothing like being lost. And I don't want to have the experience of my soul being lost for eternity. But today, I think because of, well, we just know we'll pick up GPS and find where to go, that people just kind of shrug being lost off, and they don't think much about it, and it's not really a big deal if I'm lost right now, because GPS will pick up the signal, and eventually everything's going to work out somehow. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. And Thomas said to him, he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, how can we know the way? And in John chapter 14, verse 6, we read, Jesus saith unto him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our world today rejects Jesus Christ. They reject truth because they want to find their own way. They want to do their own thing, but Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He said in Matthew 7:13, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. It doesn't matter which way is most popular to go. It does not matter which way seems easiest. There's going to be many who have found their own way who are going to have a very rude awakening, because I tell you, really, it's such a thing. There's nothing that is like truth. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and that is the truth. There is a way of salvation, and that is the truth. Our world likes to deny absolute truth because they really want to deny that there's a God in heaven that they have to answer to. But even though they deny it with such strength and such passion, that does not change truth. Truth remains. Jesus said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Is anybody thankful today for truth? Come on, is anybody thankful that somebody taught you a Bible study, that somebody preached you a sermon, that somebody shared truth with you? Thank God for the freedom that comes from truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen, amen. The very fact that truth shall make you free also means that there is something to be set free from. And if someone does not have truth, if someone rejects truth, if someone denies truth, they are the opposite of free. They are bound. They are in prison. They are in chains. Now, it's one thing to have always been in chains and to have never been free. But it's another thing to have once been made free and to be put back in chains. That is a nightmare. That is a tragedy. It's a horrible thing to have once been bound and to have been set free, to once have been delivered from bondage because Jesus Christ set you free, only to then be put back in chains, to be bound once again, to be put back in prison. I tell you today, that's not God's will. That's not God's will, but it happens to people all the time. Sometimes it's ever so gradually. Sometimes it's imperceptibly, just a little backsliding over time. Oh, I'm not going to backslide, Pastor. I got this going, or I've got that, and it's going to keep me out of church, and I'm not going back on God. Don't think that, but I just got some other things I've got to take care of, and I know I don't need to miss church, but just for this season, and just give me a little time to make things right. And even though they don't mean to, they would have never chosen this path if they knew where it would lead. But they end up in the end to be bound once again, to leave the freedom they once had in exchange for bondage. But it happens, and sometimes it progresses ever so slowly over time. It doesn't happen suddenly. It's a slow fade. But in the end, they find themselves so very far from where they once were in God, and so very far from where they once ever dreamed that they would be. It really is the progression of perversion. I'd never thought I'd be here. I never thought I'd do this. I never thought things would have progressed like this. I never imagined it. Oh, somebody hear me today. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you ever could pay. And so every generation has had those who have perverted truth. The Apostle Paul wrote to churches dealing with this in Galatians, and there were those who were perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wrote in Galatians 1 and 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, in other words, really listen up and hear what he's saying. As we said before, so say now I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. When truth is perverted, it opens up the floodgates of sin and immorality. When truth is perverted, it opens up the floodgates of sin and immorality. The sexual perversions that invade our society today, they are the results of perverted truth. There is only one thing that can turn the tide against the perversion of our ungodly culture today, and that is the preaching of truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the preaching of holiness and separation from the world. Right preaching leads to right living. That's why the enemy hates preaching. That's why the enemy despises preaching. That's why the enemy mocks preaching, because it makes hell nervous and it takes back territory that has been perverted. But that's why this church believes in preaching. That's why this church declares the truth. That's why this church believes the truth. We believe that you need to be separated from the world. We believe that you need to live holy. We believe that you need to be a worshiper. We believe that we need to be prayer warriors. Thank God for truth. Come on, somebody. You need to thank God for a preacher that preached truth in your life. You need to thank God for a mom or a dad that said, hey, I want to share the truth with you. You need to thank God for somebody that taught you a Bible study and showed you truth. Amen. I'm thankful for old-fashioned conviction preaching that leads our hearts to live right and to talk right and to do right. Paul said, you've had the truth preached to you. You better beware of those who would pervert the truth. He said, I don't even care if it's an angel from heaven. If anyone preaches anything different to you, some other gospel, let him be accursed. In other words, let God's curse be upon him. And then Paul gives several steps of decline and deterioration that people go through when they fail to love truth. From the height of revelation to think that some have had the revelation of the mighty God in Christ, and God called them out of this world, and perhaps they even preached it. Somewhere along the way, something just started to slide. And I know them and you know them, and today they don't even believe in the oneness of God. From the height of revelation, they fall to the depths of immorality. It's the dangerous, slippery slope of sin. And Paul said they're without excuse because they once knew God. Did you know it takes more faith to believe that God doesn't exist than it does to believe that there is a God? I know God's a spirit, and we can't see a spirit, you know, but you can see God all throughout his handiwork. You see him in the heavens. You see him throughout the earth. His glory is declared all about us and in us. And the word of God is filled with prophetic scriptures that have come to pass in very specific ways, just like it said it would. And the creation of our body is a magnificent thing that it could have never happened by chance, and all the cells and organs and everything working together. Truth is available for those who seek it. 2 Peter 3:3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. For this they are willingly ignorant of. I want to say that the truth of God's word, it is available to all who will seek after it. But there are many who are willingly ignorant. They choose to deny God. They choose to deny truth. They reject anything to do with the Bible, or they take a little bit that they like, and then they pervert the rest to turn it to fit what they want it to be. God help us. But even though they pervert the truth, it doesn't take away from truth. It doesn't take away from truth. Truth stands whether we believe it or not. Truth is still truth whether we accept it or not. Truth is still truth whether we live it or not. Paul warned in our text today, he said that even though they knew God, they glorified him not as God. What a sad thing with the blessings of God, how they become so common and they become so ordinary and people just take them for granted. They refuse to realize that every breath is a gift from God. Every day is a blessing from God, and they lose the appreciation for God. They turn from truth. They cease to glorify and worship him, and their hearts start to follow after the things of the world instead of the things of God. It's kind of like when somebody goes to buy a new car. I've had one new car, and really it was Sister McCoy's new car, and that was a lot of years ago. And I don't know that I'll ever buy a new car again, because you lose so much money when you drive it off the lot. But that was back in the day when I had money and more money than I had smarts, maybe, and but that new car smell, it's nice. And you take that thing to the car wash 3 times a week, and you get it waxed, and you get it shined, and you vacuum it out. No, kids, we can't eat in the car, no. You get that new car smell freshener, and oh, it's just so nice. And you park out at the end of the parking lot so nobody dings your door, you know. But over time, you lose attention. You take things for granted, get sidetracked with other things, and now we eat in the car. And oh yeah, remember when little Johnny spilt the peanuts and they're all down there under the seat? And oh, remember that extra long cheese coney from Sonic? Yeah, that was a rough one. Oh, remember the baby got sick? Yeah. And they don't go to the car wash so much, and they don't worry about parking, and they get distracted. And how sad that the generation after Joshua knew not God and the works that God had done for Israel. In one generation, and they failed to worship the one true God. Just one generation later, they wouldn't glorify him. To them, truth was not a personal experience. It was just something that they had heard about. It's just something that their parents had experienced. And the progression of perversion began. Young people, I want to preach to you from the depths of my heart today. This can't just be something that your mom and dad believe. It can't just be something that grandma, how they worship God and how they prayed and how they lived. Because just one generation of time, we can fall so far from truth that we don't even look like what used to be. And you've met people, and I've met people that in the background, somewhere in their life and family, they had people who were apostolic. And you look at them today, and you see the effects of sin upon their life, and they're broken and been abused and torn up by this world. And they say, oh, yeah, well, my grandmother used to be Pentecostal. And you think, oh, God, what happened? Because they didn't worship Him for themselves. They didn't have a relationship with Him for themselves. And then Paul says that they were unthankful. Unthankfulness is a sign of the last days. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. There it is again, unthankful. Sadly, this describes our generation. People are unthankful. They're unappreciative. They think they just expect it. They just deserve it. And if somebody does something for you, we're not thankful like we used to be. But if somebody buys your meal, you need to be thankful. If somebody gives you something nice, if somebody tells you something nice, be thankful for that. They didn't have to do that. 10 lepers came to Jesus and said, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus replied, He said, go show yourself to the priest. And they were cleansed, but just one of them came back and fell on his face at the Lord's feet and began to worship Him and give Him thanks. And Jesus said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the 9? And the one who returned to thank Him was not only cleansed, but he was made whole. An unthankful spirit is a step towards immorality, but there is a spirit of thankfulness that we can have that will strengthen the body of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will for us to be thankful. I want to thank God every day for His blessings. Thank God for the church. Thank God for His power. Thank God for His word. Thank God for His spirit. Thank God for brothers and sisters that help me in the Lord. Thank God for His blessings in our life. Come on, God's been good to you and God's been good to me. I thank you, Lord, for a roof over my head. I thank you for clothes to wear. I thank you for a car to drive. I thank you for food to eat. I thank you for your hand of protection. I thank you for my family. I thank you for your blessings, Lord. Oh no, I'm not going to slide on the progression of perversion, but I'm going to be sure to give thanks to the one who deserves it. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, and their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. When we depart from the Word of God, when we leave truth, it brings a corrupted and a perverted philosophy. Vain imaginations. It's the vain, selfish thinking of our day that's brought things about like abortion and euthanasia and premarital sex and the homosexual lifestyle, and I could just keep on going right along. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. We are seeing that today. People of this generation, they're so vain. They're so self-absorbed. They're so corrupt in their thinking. They're wicked. Not only do they practice immoral and ungodly lifestyles, but they push that everybody else has to accept their way of living. Accept their differences, but you can't be different. You have to think the way they think. Their foolish heart was darkened. And Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. their heart was so darkened that as they thought that they were wise, they thought they had it all together, but they became fools. Just because someone is educated does not mean that they're spiritual. Just because someone has degrees after their name does not mean that they know anything about the kingdom of God. Now, I believe in institutions of higher learning. I believe we need to excel and advance. But just because someone knows everything there is to know about English or psychology or biology or something like that, it does not mean they know everything there is about God. In fact, some of our harvest kids have a better understanding of spiritual things than some professors in college. When we come to depend on education instead of the Spirit of God, then we are generating pride. And that pride says to God, well, I've got this figured out. I don't need you. I can figure this. I've got it. I'll depend on my own strength instead of trusting you. Paul was an educated man, one of the best educated of that day, but still he counted all of that as a loss. If he might just know a little more about Jesus Christ, he considered knowing Jesus Christ to be worth more than any education, than more than anything else in this world. Romans 1:23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Because of their pride, because they rejected God, they progressed to worshiping and praising and serving idols. Lifeless images. Idols they had made themselves and they had fashioned with their own hands out of gold and silver, and they would build altars and places to worship these gods that they had made with their own hands. It doesn't even make sense to worship something that has no power, to worship something that you yourself had created, but it's the progression of perversion. And God specifically commanded his people. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And sadly today, people worship so many things more than they do the God who created them. Even in the church, we've got to be careful of the worship of this world. Never before in the history of America has there ever been so much worship of people, of idols. American Idol? Oh, Pastor, please don't get on my YouTube. Yeah. Athletes, celebrities, music stars. We live in an idolatrous world. Oh, it's just innocent, Pastor. You just don't know how they play basketball. It's not any big thing. I just follow them to see what all goes on in their life. I just listen to the music because I kind of, you know, when I go to school, I want everybody not think I'm weird or something. I want to just be aware of it. But there's spirits attached to these idols of the world. Come on, I feel this so strong. And young men and young women look to these idols of this generation, and the enemy creates a desire and a longing after that in their heart, and they think, well, that's what I want to be, and maybe I can mix a little bit of the world with the church, and maybe I can do that and still stay saved, and maybe I can be that and still somehow live for God. And what happens, the enemy is just reeling them in, and he's taking down that progression of perversion so that they mix a little bit of the world with the church, and they try to ride the fence, and they try to think, well, I'm going to still stay in church, but I'm still going to be involved in that. Come on, young people, I want to tell you, we got to wise up, as the tactics of the enemy are meant to take our souls to hell. I'm not saying that you don't need to know anything about sports, but you better know more about the Word of God than you know about the latest sports figures. Shame on us if we can quote the latest songs that come out by Billie Eilish and we can't even quote two or three scriptures in the Bible. Come on, somebody. Come on, where are we headed? Are we sliding down the slippery slope to hell, or are we on our way to the kingdom of God? There needs to be a change in our hearts. There needs to be a change in our minds. It's not just innocent. There's a spirit attached to that, and I've got to live for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I remember the day that Sister McCoy and I went to a nice men's shoe store, and I'd never really had a nice pair of men's shoes before, and this was the latest styles. These shoes were from Italy, and oh, they were so nice, and I still got them. And I paid more for those shoes than I'd ever paid for another pair of shoes in my life. They were stylish. They were just coming in from Europe, and oh, it was on the cutting edge. And those shoes are in good condition, but I do not wear them because they're out of style. Truth doesn't go out of style. Truth never changes. Truth is always in style. The world has just left truth. They've progressed so far into perversion, but just because they're so far from truth doesn't make truth out of style. It doesn't make truth wrong. We need to hold to the truth. We need to stay in the truth. Come on, who are we trying to please, folks? We've got to get in the truth. The truth shall make us free. This is the answer. This is what's stylish. Let's turn the tide on our world and say, oh no, I'm not going down that slippery slope, but I've got a higher calling. I've got a greater purpose, and I'm going to stay with truth. Romans 1 and 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. It says that God also gave them up to uncleanness. That's what you want? Go ahead. And sometimes people get in this position and they feel that release that God takes his hand off their life and they say, I'm free. I'm free. Because God released them. Young ladies, I've not seen this, but I've heard charismatic pastors that have lost out with God. And I heard of one who called his wife up on the platform, told her to let down her long, uncut hair because they were so free, took the scissors and chopped it off. I want to tell you what, just because you feel free doesn't mean you're free. There's some truths. There's some truths. And I don't always just preach this, but God put this on my heart, and he knew he was going to be here, and he knew we wouldn't be flooded with a ton of visitors today and all that. And there's some protections from this world. The enemy wants to make you think it's bondage when really it's the freedom for your soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And God gave them up. Romans 1:26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. Verse Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Where do you think some of the things that people struggle so much with today came from? Somebody got on the progression of perversion, and God gave them up, and they became inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents puts it right there in the middle of all of this. If you have parents in the church, you need to thank God for them. If you don't have parents in the church, you still need to ask that God's blessing and His hand be upon their life. If you have parents that are godly, that bring you to church, that provide for you, that don't beat you and hurt you, you need to be thankful for that. If you're here today and you have parents that were less than best, you need to pray that God's hand be upon them and that God will give you the wisdom to honor your parents but still be right with God. I feel that right now. I'm thankful for good parents. But not everybody's got good parents. And that hurts. And that's hard. But God can give you the grace. Hallelujah. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I don't know of any other scripture in the Bible that better describes the homosexual movement than these here today. There's no fear of God. Someone knows that they're going to have the judgment of God for this perversion, but they continue shamelessly and with pride, ignoring the word of God and the promised judgment of God. If the fear of God could just get hold of them, it would drive them to repentance. So what hope do they have at this point? Is there no hope? There's always hope. There's always hope. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, but such were some of you. And such was I. But now we are washed and we are sanctified and we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I tell you today, God is able to deliver any person from any lifestyle of sin, including homosexuality. If that person would repent, if that person would turn to God, if that person would repent and turn away from sin, it does not matter how far someone has gone. The blood of Jesus is reaching for them. If they will seek forgiveness, God will meet them at that place and He will set them free. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a connection between spiritual perversion and other perversion. I'm not going to be much longer, but this is something that's been on my heart. And ever since we moved here, I have been shocked and I have been surprised. And maybe those of you that have always lived here, it doesn't shock you anymore, but I've been so shocked and surprised to see the perversion in this city. I mean, we got all kinds of Bible schools and colleges and churches all over the place. But I've been so shocked, and that spirit loves to shock you. men dressing as women. Women dressing as men. No, don't get on that, Pastor. That's not politically correct. I read the story of, and I didn't want to read it, but I felt like I needed to read it because I needed to be aware of what's happening in our city. I read the story of a cross-dresser the other day that is in Springfield and is developing some kind of, some of you may have seen something on it, some kind of movement and community and all of that, was just celebrating how things are moving in that direction and it's now more accepted. The connection between spiritual perversion and other perversion is real. Where there is false doctrine, doctrine that has taken the true doctrine and has turned it, it relates to the natural use of men and women in reproduction and how that is turned and perverted. If there was ever a time we need to preach the truth of God, it is now. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me today? It's happening at younger and younger ages that the perversion of this world is being forced on our children and on our community to where it's just now, well, it's just accepted. I'm talking about kids in our church, second, third, fourth grade. Now it's being pushed on them so strongly. Schools that are having celebrate, I don't know what, transgender days, and parents don't even know about this. Let's celebrate it. So here's where we're going today. There's a movement to try to catch our young people and our husbands and our wives in the progression of perversion. Don't worship God like that. You don't need to get so crazy. You don't need to preach it that hard. You don't need to believe truth like that. Just lighten up a little bit. You know, there's a little gray area there. Hallelujah. 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 And the enemy wants to put in the minds of our young people, the minds of husbands and the minds of wives, that you're going to end up like that. And I've wrestled with this now for several weeks. I was having dreams that were not dreams that this pastor wants to have. God, why am I having a dream like this? What's going on, Lord? Am I? Lord, forgive me. And I feel today that I'm supposed to preach this to somebody in this house and tell you that you do not have to be bound. What the enemy says is normal, but is a perverted version of what God wants you to be. And I'm trying to walk the line of saying enough that everybody knows what I'm saying and not being just too graphic. If you have a fear, if you have a fear that the enemy wants to put this on you, then you get in this scripture that we read today in Romans chapter 1. And you go down that and say, no, I know God, and I will keep worshiping Him with my whole heart. I will serve Him with all my might, with all of my strength, with all of my life. I will give Him thanks every morning when I get up out of the bed. Thank You for another day, Lord. I might not even feel good today, but Lord, I'm still kicking. And I thank You for another day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, I thank You for this meal I'm about to partake of. I thank You for supplying my needs. I thank You for opening doors. I thank You for blessing, oh God. Amen, amen. I'm not going to be unthankful. I'm not going to be unthankful. And God, I'm not going to have vain imaginations where I put more trust in education than I put in the Word of God. Yes, I'm going to be educated. Yes, come on, young people. Yes, we're going to get degrees. Yes, we're going to be leaders in society. Some of you are going to be a lawyer and doctors. And some of you are going to be professors. And you're going to go take the truth back into the schools. But we're not going to value education more than we value the Word of God. Oh, God. God, if this world has been coming upon me and my foolish heart is being darkened to where I think things are right and they're actually wrong, then God, I pray that You would set me free. Let the light of truth pierce the darkness to where I'm at. God, I don't want to see things the way the world sees things, but God, I want to see things the way You see things. Come on, you need to pray that God would give you a biblical worldview. You need a biblical worldview, and it's different than what they teach in college. It's different than what they portray on the news and in this world. I don't want to see it the way that they see it, but God, deliver my mind and give me a biblical worldview to where I see things in politics and all of that. I see it the way You want me to see it, oh God. And God, oh God, don't ever let me worship something more than I worship You. Because I don't want to even get on that slippery slope. I don't even want to go down that direction. But God, I want to stay as far as I can from perversion. And so God, in my daily life, help me to put You first. Help me to serve You first. Help me to live for You first, God. Early in the morning, I'm going to rise up and seek You. Early in the morning, I'm going to read Your Word, because I want that to be the first thing that comes into my mind. Not the news, not Facebook, not Instagram, not anything else. But Lord, the first thing in the morning, I want to have Your Word to overcome my thoughts and my actions. And I want that to be first in my life. I'm not saying you don't need to follow a little bit about basketball and football and all those kind of things, but you better not know more about the latest styles and trends of this world than you know about the things of God. And some of y'all, come on, I've been preaching it. I've been trying to get your attention. You need to clean up your music. When you get in the car, you don't need to go to that station anymore. You might just need to sit there in silence if it has to be. But you need to say, I'm not going to value the things of the world. I'm going to clean up my Instagram, because I don't want that spirit getting a hold of me and taking me where it's taking them. Come on. Some people say truth is not in style. I tell you, truth is in style. Truth is in style. And there's coming a day when there's going to be those who are clothed in white robes. And they're going to ask, who are they? These are those who have come out of great tribulation. And the Lamb has washed them in His blood. He has made them as white as snow.
Come on, somebody, today you need to come and you need to make a commitment to God. Lord, I'm not going down the progression of perversion, but I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to put you first in my life. Would there be a young man, would there be a young lady that you say, I don't even want to battle those kind of thoughts, and so God, I'm going to devote my mind to you. As people are coming right now, if you're here today and you have struggled against thoughts, the enemy has put in your mind saying, I'm going to cause you to be perverted in your lifestyle. Come on, if you've struggled with that, and nobody else has to even know that, but right now I feel like God wants to set you free. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every perverted spirit right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke it right now in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over every mind, over every life. I bind the power of that spirit where it cannot work anymore against this church and against this people. I rebuke the spirit of perversion in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that you would give us victory not over sexual perversion, but I pray that you would give us victory over the perversion of the doctrine. And I pray that you would let the truth, let it set people free in this city. Let it set churches free in this city. Let it set homes free in this city. In the name of Jesus. God, protect our children right now. God, protect our young people right now. God, protect our men, protect our women. I pray that you'd protect them from that spirit of perversion that wants to destroy their mind and destroy their relationship. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to live pure. I'm going to live dedicated to the things of God. I'm going to dedicate my life to His service in the name of Jesus. In the name